Breaking news, the Kavanaugh nomination moves to a final floor vote.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
On this vote, the yeas are 51, the noes are 49. The motion is agreed to.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Today is a pivotal day in the nomination process of this excellent judge. But it's a pivotal day for us here in the Senate as well. The ideals of justice that have served our nation so well for so long are on full display.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
We can explain this very easily for you. The cloture vote, which is the first hurdle, has been overcome by Brett Kavanaugh. He now moves on to a full Senate vote that will likely occur tomorrow evening. That would be Saturday evening. We are live right now talking to you. To break it down is, if you're asking, well, who voted which way, I can do it a very simple way. Every Republican voted for Brett Kavanaugh on cloture, so not yet on his nomination, but for cloture, except for Lisa Murkowski. Every Democrat voted against cloture on Brett Kavanaugh, except for Joe Manchin. So literally only two senators, one Republican breaking from her party, Lisa Murkowski, one Democrat breaking from his party, Joe Manchin. What does this mean? Well, this vote does not mean that they have to vote the same way when the confirmation vote comes up tomorrow. So we do know that Susan Collins is preparing to have a press conference later today after we're off the air about how she will vote. Lisa Murkowski just put out a statement. She was the no vote, that she changed her mind as she walked into the chamber. I am kind of assuming right now, because she was a no vote on cloture, it's unlikely that she would then be a yes vote on the nomination. But she is very close with Susan Collins. We'll see what Susan Collins has to say. It is still very much up in the air. This was 51-49. It didn't require the vice president to cast a vote. But we are within margins of just, you know, losing. Again, if you lose another, if you assume Lisa Murkowski is a no, and you lose another Republican, you would have to have Joe Manchin be the sole Democrat to come and save this nomination so that Vice President Pence could cast a 51st vote. That is putting a lot on one, the only Democrat so far who voted yes on cloture, to actually be the vote that confirmed, basically, Brett Kavanaugh. I want to take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. Let's get a live report from Washington, D.C. And Than, this is far from over. Certainly, it's a positive if you're a Kavanaugh supporter to move forward without the need for Vice President Pence to cast a vote. That being said, razor-thin margins, 51-49 on cloture, which usually gets more votes than the confirmation because of the idea that nominees deserve an up or down vote. And we saw a Republican defection.
Yeah, we said yesterday on the air, Jordan, that the cloture vote and the final vote might not necessarily mirror each other. And we also said that it was going to take two of the three undecided Republicans to get Judge Kavanaugh over the line. And then if he did get over the line, you might see a Democrat or two come his way. And that's exactly how it played out. Look, I don't know where Joe Manchin's vote would have been, Jordan, had it not been for Jeff Flake and Susan Collins voting yes. Since they were yeses, he was free to vote yes. That pushed the tally to 51. But I think you laid it out right. Look, we're going to hear from Susan Collins what her final decision is at 3 o'clock. We haven't heard from Jeff Flake what his final decision is. Jordan, in order to be assured of confirmation for Judge Kavanaugh, I think both of those two need to be yeses. Now, maybe Joe Manchin would cast the deciding vote, but I think that would be a pretty perilous place for the nomination to be. But look, bottom line today, Jordan, there were ultimately four votes throughout this whole process that Judge Kavanaugh had to get through. He's now through three of them. He is one vote away from sitting on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, so Steve on Facebook writes, Jordan, chances Kavanaugh is confirmed. I think there's a good chance he is confirmed, but this is far from over because the margins are so razor thin. I mean, I think anybody who could tell you right now 100%, especially with Susan Collins, who votes yes on cloture, but then says, I'm going to have a press conference to tell you more about how I'll vote on the actual nomination tomorrow, and I'm going to have that this afternoon, that throws everything up in the air once again. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, the Kavanaugh nomination. We are heading towards the final vote tomorrow, 1-800-684-3110.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
We're going to get into all the details, all of the what could happen tomorrow's scheduled final vote on the Kavanaugh nomination. This will be the vote, the up or down vote, on whether or not Judge Kavanaugh becomes Justice Kavanaugh. You need 51 votes. The vice president can cast the 51st vote if necessary. There was concern that one Republican senator had a daughter's wedding to attend tomorrow. He has made clear, Senator Daines, that he will fly back to Washington, D.C. Tomorrow evening if necessary to be the vote, to be that 50 or 51st vote. So that is no longer really a concern. Let me say this before we get into kind of all of the what-ifs as well. I told you yesterday that, and again, they're not relenting, the Democrats. They only had one defection, Joe Manchin. All the rest, including some who are facing very tough political battles in states Donald Trump won and Republicans traditionally win statewide in, all of them but Joe Manchin decided to vote against cloture. And let me read some of these comments that came out. Remember the word temperament? I said listen for that from Democrats. Here's Senator Heidi Heitkamp from North Dakota. She's a no vote now. She was one that used to be in that group of five that Than talks about always that were a potential vote for Judge Kavanaugh, no longer now. She says, last Thursday's hearing called into question Judge Kavanaugh's current temperament. She's voting no. The Washington Post editorial board, which is no surprise opposing Judge Kavanaugh and calling for a no vote, says that his judgment and temperament would be in doubt. The New York Times just comes out and calls him a jerk. Seriously. That's the term they use. They call Judge Kavanaugh a jerk. Senator Feinstein says that he's angry and aggression, so talking about temperament, she didn't use the word, but Senator Schumer did question the confidence that Judge Kavanaugh has the temperament. Senator Durbin, it's asked to be put on a, how could you trust his temperament? Senator Doug Jones, a Democrat from Alabama, also showing a temperament that's up and coming of a judge, and Senator Patrick Leahy, he has neither the judgment nor the temperament. That is just a sample. Again, they're not going to let up on this, folks. I think that this needs to be made very clear to you that we have a time period here. It's more than 24 hours. It's more like 30 hours where people like Jeff Flake and Susan Collins are going to be under immense pressure, as well as Joe Manchin, from both sides, but especially the left right now, who is flooding the offices in Washington, D.C., and obviously did have an impact on Lisa Murkowski. So they in a sense, I think with the way Lisa Murkowski explained, she was the only Republican to vote no on cloture, that she decided as she was walking into the Senate chamber right before we went on the air and they had that vote, that those protesters did have an impact. So I don't think they can impact every senator. I think that they probably don't have as much of an impact on someone like Joe Manchin in West Virginia, especially when it's the Hollywood liberals protesting. But they did on an Alaska senator, a senator from Alaska, Lisa Murkowski. Now, the big question of today is, what will Joe Manchin say? What will Susan Collins say? She's already scheduled a press conference. And will Jeff Flake say anything? Or do we go into tomorrow and really still not have a clear indication that the votes are there for Brett Kavanaugh? Than, right before I get to the phones, I just want to make it kind of clear to people. You need 51 votes. He got that today to get to cloture. If those votes held, he would be confirmed without the need for the vice president. He could lose one more, and the vice president could be the 51st vote.
Yeah, that's right, Jordan. In fact, if everybody votes as they did today, the way this would probably go down is the vote tally would probably actually be 50-49, because Steve Daines will not be back in Washington, D.C. now. Now, you're absolutely correct. He said if his vote is needed, he will fly back in time to cast it. So if you play that hypothetical out, say you did, you know, Jeff Flake or Susan Collins or Joe Manchin flip to a no, the final tally when it is initially taken will probably be 49-50, but they won't close that vote, Jordan. And then in that scenario, you would see Steve Daines get on a plane to come back from Montana. And at the same time, the vice president would have to make his way to the Senate chamber. So if everybody votes as they did today, I expect it would be a 50-49 confirmation. And if you see the tally sort of come to a close at 49-50, then it's going to be held open for several hours to get Steve Daines back, Jordan.
All right. I don't want to put words into Senator Collins' mouth, but she's having this press conference, which to me is unique because she indicated one way by voting yes on cloture. I think she could have let that stand, but she's decided to have an afternoon press conference. Then, hypothetically, you lose Susan Collins, and if you assume that Lisa Murkowski is not switching a vote, you then have to rely on a Joe Manchin to save this nomination.
Yeah, I think that's perilous, Jordan. I mean, I know there's a lot of reporting out right now that Joe Manchin is a pretty solid yes because of his race, because of how popular Judge Kavanaugh is in the state, and maybe even some speculation of a party changing after the elections. But, Jordan, that's a very tenuous place for this nomination to be. Now, I won't tell you that it's absolutely impossible for that to happen, but look, if you go down to the floor of the Senate and the final vote is 49-50 and you're starting to fly Steve Daines back from Montana like we just talked about, and you're starting to bring the vice president over to cast the tie-breaking vote, can you imagine the pressure that would be on Joe Manchin during those hours while that vote was held open and the delay was hanging on his vote? Look, it might happen, but that is not the best path to nomination for Judge Kavanaugh. The best path to confirmation for Judge Kavanaugh is to hold Jeff Flake's vote and to hold Susan Collins' vote. And by the way, Jordan, there is some reporting coming out right now that Jeff Flake has told reporters that he's a yes on Kavanaugh unless something changes.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
again,
this is a very typical Jeff Flake statement.
That?
I mean,
right.
Things can change. There are 30 hours of debate right now that's just started in the last hour. So Jeff Flake is a wavering yes, but still is leaving it out there to be persuaded to vote against him, the nomination. Now, I did want to answer this one call that's coming in because I think this may be incorrect information, maybe some confusion with names as well, or it's something that would be totally breaking news that has not been reported. Let's go to Roberta in Colorado on line four. Roberta, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. If I heard correctly, Cory Gardner is voting no, and I'm encouraging Coloradoans to please call Cory Gardner's office and encourage him to vote yes for Kavanaugh.
Yeah, I think that that's incorrect information. He is a Republican from Colorado. I think you might be confusing. Now, you're in Colorado, but don't confuse the Corys. There's also Cory Booker in New Jersey, Than, who is definitely a no vote. But I have not got – I mean, Cory Gardner was a yes – he was a yes vote on cloture. He has not indicated at all that he'd be a no vote on Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, I think he's a yes on final, Jordan. I mean, there was some reporting last night that he was still undecided as of last night, but he has since announced his vote. So, you know, either there's some confusion with Cory Booker, or more, maybe it's thinking back to that story of last night. You know, Jordan, there were several senators yesterday who came out and sort of made their first public statements, like Ben Sasse. You know, he had some problems with the process, but his vote was never in doubt. And I think that's the category I would put Cory Gardner in. I don't think he's somebody you have to worry about at this point.
Yeah, at that point, if those votes start dropping, you've got the nomination is doomed. So, you know, you've got to really be able to focus in on these final hours, which we've got some questions about these final hours too, Than. But you have to be able to focus in on these final hours Because if you've got everybody out there who's potentially, listen, I think if they voted for cloture and that was their first kind of comment on it, and they haven't been one of the people that have hung themselves out as I'm undecided throughout the whole process. You know, maybe they said something in 24 hours, but then they voted. You can't focus there, because if you do focus there, literally that means that you've got serious trouble with the nomination. I don't think that's the issue right now. I think the issue is these handful of senators. But let me explain this. Both Rhonda on Facebook, who wrote in, please explain the 30-hour wait. Dawn on Facebook writes, why can't they hold the final vote today? Than?
Yeah, so the way you get over a filibuster or a never-ending debate on anything, Jordan, whether it's a nomination or legislation, you have to come to some sort of agreement to end the debate. Now, if you can't get unanimous consent for that, which obviously they could not get in this case, you have to end debate through a process that's called cloture. That was what the vote today was, to end debate. But the rules of the Senate set forward that if cloture is invoked, which it was today, that still allows for 30 more hours post-cloture of debate. So, you know, there'll be senators down on the floor debating this nomination. It probably won't be wall to wall, Jordan, but that 30-hour clock is in Senate precedent. And even when cloture is invoked, you cannot move to have a final vote unless there is unanimous consent. Now, it could be possible that Democrats would yield back some of their time. I think it's unlikely in this case, but essentially, unless Democrats agree to hold it sooner, they can't have it for another 30 hours.
All right. So I hope that answers your questions for you, Rhonda. Don, I think it does. That's part of the Senate procedure. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Just in case you're just joining us, Brett Kavanaugh gets through this first major hurdle for the full Senate, which is the cloture vote. He got through on the smallest margins possible, 51-49, but it didn't require the vice president to come in and cast a vote. So there's still some wiggle room there for the final vote. That final vote is likely tomorrow in the evening, so Saturday evening, and that will be the vote to determine whether Judge Kavanaugh becomes Justice Kavanaugh. How senators voted today does not hold them to how they vote tomorrow. Most of them will vote the same, 99, probably 95% at least, maybe 99%. It may be that they all do, but they don't have to. So it puts things in question. There's a difference in saying I'm going to allow a vote on a nominee and voting affirmatively for a nominee. That's the difference between these two votes. Allowing for the final vote, so for this all to come to an end, the debate to come to an end, and actually voting for a nominee to the Supreme Court. When we come back, we'll continue to take your phone calls, your questions, your comments. 1-800-684-3110. We're in the final, just a little bit more than 24 hours until the final vote on Brett Kavanaugh. 1-800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
are going to get right into the phones. People have been holding on already, called right at the beginning of the show. I didn't want to answer very quickly because people do just join us throughout the broadcast. Jamie on Facebook, what was the vote count on cloture? 51 to 49. 51 yay votes, that means the Kavanaugh nomination. Cloture is invoked. Debate, there's a 30 hours of debate that's already started on the Senate floor. That's when the senators get their time to talk. And then a final vote, likely, but the way that plays out would be tomorrow, early evening. It could be pushed back. Of course, they could keep those votes open. But sometime tomorrow evening, that's Saturday evening. So it's 51 to 49. Just to make it clear, one Republican voted against cloture on Brett Kavanaugh. That was Lisa Murkowski. All the other Republicans voted yes. And one Democrat voted yes for cloture on Brett Kavanaugh. That was Joe Manchin. All the other Democrats voted no. So you only had two defections from the party lines, one on each side, one Republican, one Democrat. We will go right to the phones now, 1-800-684-3110. Stephen called in from Texas Online, too. Stephen, welcome to JSecio Live.
I appreciate your taking my call. I'm thankful that you're supportive of religious freedom, and I'm incredibly grateful for your support of Israel. Now, Jeff Flake is conducting himself as if he's bulletproof since he's not running for another term. I mean, what has he got to lose? So my question is, does Jeff Flake have a security clearance that he would normally carry forward and trade on that could be withdrawn if the president feels he's conducted himself in a way that damages our country?
No, the senators, any kind of clearance they have would be for the time they are elected officials chosen by the people. So it's not like government officials, bureaucrats who have gone through but multiple processes to get there. So that would not be an indication. Listen, it does make it more difficult when Jeff Flake is not up for re-election. He was already going to have an impossible primary in Arizona. People were not real happy with him. And what he became as a senator, he kind of moved to the middle throughout his career. And certainly it felt that way, even by his votes. And that's why it's still a bit of a concern here. Now, he has said he's still a yes. He plans to be a yes vote unless something else happens. That was literally his statement after the cloture vote. For me, that's a very typical Jeff Flake statement at this point, Than, and also one that kind of concerns me because so much can happen in what, I guess we've probably got 29 hours left now.
Jordan, it's exactly what he said before the committee markup. He said, I'm a yes on Jeff Flake, and then there was 4 hours between the time he said that and the vote was cast. And as we all know, he initiated this one-week delay. So I agree with you. That's a tenuous statement of support. Here's what my message to Jeff Flake would be. Back when you negotiated this one-week delay, what you said is that you wanted to see this additional FBI report, and if there was nothing additional corroborating that came out of it, then you were going to be a yes. And then just yesterday, you said that there was nothing... no new corroborating information inside the report. So I think the pitch to Jeff Flake, Jordan, is not really a political one. It's a one of, will you be a man of your word? Did you mean it when you said that? And now that you got what you wanted with this one-week FBI investigation, will you follow through? I think that's the pitch that people who support Judge Kavanaugh should be making to Jeff Flake.
Tracy's calling in from Virginia on line one. Tracy, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey there. I think my question was answered by Kavanaugh's op-ed, but
yeah,
when all this is said and done, is he still going to want this position after all is said and done?
Absolutely. And I mean, all it said is done is going to be in the next 30 hours, less than 30 hours from now. So he still wants this. He could have, if he thought this was too much, that would have been done earlier in the process. Now you got the cloture vote, so you're moving towards the final vote. Yes, things can change on, if they feel like they've lost a lot of votes, you pull in a nomination. I mean, these are very hypothetical. And that has nothing to do with whether Brett Kavanaugh wants the position. He certainly does. He took another unprecedented step, like doing a TV interview, like having to come back to testify, not about judicial philosophy, but uncorroborated allegations against him. Now he's written an op-ed that appeared yesterday in the Wall Street Journal. I tweeted it out immediately. I posted it to my Facebook page immediately. Let me just read a little bit from it to make it clear, but it is clear he wants this position. As I explained during the hearing, a good judge must be an umpire, a neutral and impartial arbiter who favors no political party, litigant, or policy. As Justice Kennedy has stated, judges do not make decisions to reach a preferred result. Over the past 12 years, I have ruled sometimes for the prosecution, sometimes for criminal defendants, sometimes for workers, and sometimes for businesses. sometimes for environmentalists and sometimes for coal miners. In each case, I have followed the law. I do not decide cases based on personal or policy preferences. I'm not a pro-plaintiff or a pro-defendant judge. I'm not a pro-prosecution or a pro-defense judge. I'm a pro-law judge. And he goes on to say the Supreme Court must never be viewed as a partisan institution. I'd encourage you to read the entire op-ed. He talks about why it was so emotional as well. He says, I was very emotional last Thursday, more so than I've ever been. Think about that statement from Brett Kavanaugh. And I think that that's likely true based off everybody that knows Brett Kavanaugh well, is as emotional as he's ever been, especially in a public setting. Not behind closed doors, but in public. I might have been too emotional at times. I know my tone was sharp, and I said a few things I probably should not have said. I hope everyone can understand that I was there as a son, husband, and dad. I testified with five people foremost in my mind. My mom, my dad, my wife, and most of all, my daughters. So that, again, I encourage you to read the entire op-ed. It's in the Wall Street Journal. I tweeted it out, posted it on my Facebook page. It's an op-ed that was written by Judge Kavanaugh and appeared published yesterday. This, again, because he knew that the Phase 3 attack was not about the allegations, but temperament. And as I read to you, I told you yesterday, listen for the words temperament. It appears in all these no votes statements. Senator Heidi Heitkamp, which I think she's goodbye in North Dakota. The Washington Post editorial board that says to vote no uses temperament. New York Times editorial board just called him a jerk. It's just a bit absurd. These are the kind of terminology. Senator Feinstein, anger and aggression is how she explains it. Schumer uses temperament. Durbin uses temperament. Doug Jones in Alabama uses temperament. So does Patrick Leahy. Plenty of others have as well. That's just kind of a sample for you as well. This is a good one coming in from Facebook. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Winston on Facebook, I'm surprised that Senator Jones from Alabama voted no on cloture. Than Doug Jones just showed everybody that you could, an Alabama senator and a Democrat, that he's going to be voting with the Democrat Party so long as he's in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, he's been showing that for a while, Jordan. Yeah. I mean, honestly, he was never really in play on this one, and he's not been on play on a lot of key pieces of legislation as well as nominations. I guess I would read the political tea leaves on that a little bit. Maybe Doug Jones doesn't think he has much of a chance for reelection, so he doesn't have to play to the base in Alabama. I'm not quite sure, but I would just say this. I don't think this is the first indication from Doug Jones. I think this is pretty much more of the same of what you've been getting from him since he's been in town.
No, I mean, listen to him today on CNN, Byte 19.
What was persuasive was his testimony the other day, which was clearly not off the cuff. It was clearly emotional, and it should be. If this did not happen, he should vigorously defend himself. But he went beyond that. He went into partisan attacks, personal attacks on some senators, totally inappropriate, showing an temperament that is unbecoming a judge, much less a Supreme Court nominee.
So there you go from Doug Jones. It's the temperament issue. It was Phase 3. The question is Phase 3 successful? It's a question because the cloture vote was so close, and that is just a vote to allow a final vote. And just because you vote to allow an up or down vote does not mean that you also are going to vote affirmatively for a nominee. A lot of people have the idea, as we finish out this first half hour, that you should always allow an up or down vote. But again, this was 51-49. We'll be back in our second half hour on JSEC Live.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
On this vote, the yeas are 51, the noes are 49. The motion is agreed to.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live in our second half hour of the broadcast. A lot of phone calls to get to, but let me just get you up to speed. People just joined us. We'll do it very quickly. The full Senate took their first of two votes on Judge Kavanaugh today. It just happened just before we went on the air. The vote was 51-49 in favor of cloture on the Kavanaugh nomination. That means the nomination moves forward. That was a vote to basically allow the final vote on whether Judge Kavanaugh becomes Justice Kavanaugh. We don't have to really go through and read through the entire list because it was pretty easy. Only one Republican voted against cloture. That was Lisa Murkowski. Only one Democrat voted for cloture. That was Joe Manchin. Lisa Murkowski is from a Republican from Alabama, from Alaska, and Joe Manchin is the Democrat from West Virginia. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. The final vote is likely tomorrow evening. I mean, that's what it's scheduled for. Jeff Flake voted yes, if you're wondering that, on cloture. He said he's likely a yes vote on the nomination unless something changes. So he's left a caveat out there. Susan Collins was a yes vote as well. She has a press conference scheduled for later today where it's reported that she is going to announce how she will vote on the confirmation. We can play out the scenarios for you, and we will throughout the second half hour of the broadcast as Stan Bennett joins me from Washington, D.C. But I do want to get right to the phones. People have already been holding on for a half hour. Andy called in from Missouri on line three. Andy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes. How are you doing today?
Hey, Andy.
I'm enjoying your program.
Thank you very much.
We got the whole hour here. But real quick, my thought or my question regards, if Kavanaugh is voted down tomorrow, looking ahead to Monday morning, my thought is, knowing Trump, do you think he would just come right to the microphones Monday and say, okay, you didn't like this nominee, I'm now submitting a woman to you to run for...
I don't want to think past this vote because I think Judge Kavanaugh deserves to become Justice Kavanaugh. I hope he does become Justice Kavanaugh for his family, for him, for our country, in his judicial philosophy. For those reasons, that's my personal opinion. So I don't really want to look past that. But I am also a political realist that this is a nomination that hangs in the balance. Could go either way in these next 30 hours, certainly. And we may even know before that exactly how it may come down. I don't think that the White House will take a long time in announcing if they had to. But again, I don't think we want to mentally go there yet. I'm sure that they are prepared because there could be more vacancies. They're already preparing for the potential for more vacancies on the Supreme Court during the Trump presidency, during the first term even, potentially. So they're ready always with nominations. They have to be. Things happen. And so because of that, they are always ready. They are lifetime appointments, but no one knows. Sometimes justices retire. Sometimes they pass away while they are still serving. And sometimes that's unexpectedly, like in the case of Justice Scalia. 1-800-684-3110. We do have a couple lines that we just got open by taking some phone calls early in the second half hour. If you want to talk to us on the air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Than, we have a press conference coming up from Susan Collins. We are waiting to see if Joe Manchin issues any kind of statement. People can follow me on Twitter for that. I will be, I was not tweeting on the hearing involving the allegations and making statements about that. I am on the come down to political votes and things like that. If it doesn't happen while we're on the air, and certainly the final vote will happen tomorrow. But then, just briefly, so we go into this break, how confident should Kavanaugh supporters be right now?
Oh, I think they got what they wanted today, Jordan. I mean, it was the third of four votes he needed on the floor of the Senate. I think they'll feel a lot better after Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins go down to the floor as part of this final debate and announce their position, assuming it's a yes. But look, I think you set it up right. I mean, this is a margin that really hangs on one Republican right now, because if one Republican were to flip, Jordan, then it all hangs on a Democrat. And I don't think Judge Kavanaugh supporters would feel comfortable in that scenario.
All right, folks, we will continue to take your phone calls when we come back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
There's a good question that was posed during the video our team puts together during some of the breaks we have for our Facebook and Periscope audience, who watch the broadcast that way instead of listening through radio, that, on Elisa Murkowski, how likely is it that you go from a no on cloture to a yes on confirmation? So one is a no on proceeding to a vote, but then switching to yes on actually an affirmative vote to confirm a nominee, to put Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. Than, very unlikely. Her constituents in Alaska may be upset about this. I'm sure they are contacting her office, but it is very unlikely to go from a no on cloture, which is just a vote on whether or not there should be a vote, a final vote, and then to an affirmative vote to approve someone. It's much more likely that you go from a vote on to be okay with cloture to actually voting against something.
I think that's right, Jordan. I mean, I think if you're a constituent of Lisa Murkowski, you should, of course, continue to call her because there's nothing saying that she can't change her mind. But look, the rationale that would be involved there would be she would have to say, I don't think there's been enough debate. I don't think it's time for the debate to end. But even though I don't think the debate should end, I'm going to vote yes for Judge Kavanaugh. I don't think that's likely to happen, Jordan. I think she's probably the fourth most likely to switch at this point. I think the three most likely are all currently in the yes column. It'd be Susan Collins, Jeff Flake, and Joe Manchin. I think that rationale makes a whole lot more sense than flipping the other way.
All right, let's go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Terry called in from Maryland. Terry, thanks for holding on. Make sure after your question or comment, hang on, we're going to send you one of our books as well. Terry, appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, my question is, if Manchin only votes yes, if he's not really technically needed because everybody else is already in, does that really help him in getting elected? Because people are not stupid. You know, I mean, if he were to vote yes and his vote was really needed, I mean, that could really help him. But, you know, if he's just going to say yes.
Yeah, I'd say it's how, I wouldn't say the word stupid. I'd say it's more how educated you are. Now, so our listeners, Terry, you broke it down very easily. You understand what we're saying is that he's not going to be necessarily a, by the way, he could be, but it's tough to count on him to be the vote that pushes Brett Kavanaugh over. It'd be much more easier for Joe Manchin to just be an add-on vote for Brett Kavanaugh, and it puts him in an easier situation. So he gets to tell his constituents, I voted yes, and I do think that helps him. I mean, I'll be honest, because most of his constituents are not going to break it down to, well, did he do that because he was, it didn't really matter or not? They're going to see it ultimately as a yes vote. Now, it would be different if he is the deciding vote. I think he could probably politically use that to his advantage in West Virginia if he so choose, but they'd have to also then determine what could happen to his Democrat support, whatever base that is there for him, and what may happen from the National Party as well. So I think, just to answer your question, that most people, I'm not going to say that it's not stupid, it's just how educated you are and up to speed on, listen, this is splitting hairs. You know, this is coming down to, well, did this vote actually be, was this a vote that mattered? I mean, technically, they're all votes that matter when you add them up. I mean, you got to get to 51. But it's what we're talking about, this single individual Democrat being the vote that pushes it over the top. And so you can see, again, I appreciate our audience. You see the great questions that come from our audience because you are all very well informed and you ask great questions. We'll take another one of those right now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. Kathy calling from Arizona on line 4. Kathy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Kathy.
I just wanted to say I think it's very disheartening that the constituents back home that don't have the means to travel to Washington, either because of money or right. work, that we can't be there and look at Flake, Murkowski, or whomever right before they go in to vote and let them know, hey, this is what the people back home are wanting you to do. So I just wanted to say, you know, please, I keep them all in prayer. I want God to influence them. But please remember the people back home, not just the squeaky wheels that get to travel to Washington.
Yeah, you know, I've been involved in some of these larger kind of, what do you call them, protests or events in Washington, D.C. on the Mall. And usually those were accompanied by protest or events, whatever you want to call it, that were happening all over the country so that you could say it's not just here in Washington, but it was happening everywhere. And this was a sample. And there would be thousands of people in Washington, but there would be thousands of people in Atlanta, Georgia, and, you know, in Phoenix, Arizona as well. What here we're seeing is, one, Washington is a Democrat base and sort of the surrounding area. So it's very easy to get activists on board. Two, the groups are pouring money into getting this confrontation. I don't really see, and by the way, I'm not really endorsing this idea either of Republicans or conservative groups funding people to go confront an aggressive way U.S. senators in ways also with the potential put yourself in jeopardy of being arrested. It just doesn't seem to really add up to the values of the more conservative and Republican movement. That doesn't mean you give up your right to protest or let your voice be heard. This is just done in the kind of a leftist way. I think it's unfortunate that they have had the kind of influence they have had because it is such a limited amount of people. We're not seeing protests erupting all over the country, Than. I mean, it's Washington. It's pretty easy for the left to put together a protest.
Yeah, and I would say two things, Jordan. First of all, this is why the ACLJ exists. I mean, this is why we put petitions out on any number of issues. We can be your voice here in Washington, D.C. That's why we break it down state by state and show the senators who in their state is interested in a given topic. And the second thing I would say, Jordan, I can tell you from firsthand experience, I think calls into senators' offices make about as much impact as those protests or those events do. And I mean, in this particular case, I think there are a number of undecided senators that are out there that could still be called. I mean, if you're in the states for or Senator Collins, Senator Flake, or Senator Manchin, and you can't get to Washington, D.C., I would say pick up the phone and call their office and let them know what you think about the judge.
All right. Let's try to grab another call. 1-800-684-3110. I told you today we weren't going to wait till the final segment of the broadcast to try to take a lot of calls because so many people have been holding on, like Deborah in Arizona on line 6, who's also been holding on. Deborah, you too, hang on after your comment or question. And I want to make sure we get you one of our books as well. Thanks for holding on.
Thank you, Jordan. Thanks for taking my call. And you talked about your listeners being informed, but I thank you for informing us. When I want something that's balanced and truthful and not sensational, I try to catch your show on Sirius Radio. So I appreciate you guys, as well as definitely the support of Israel. I think he's our only true friend. So,
thank you, Deborah.
I'm kind of reiterating what other people have said, and unfortunately, Senator Flake is just like his name. He is a flake, always has been. But I know what I did was I picked up my phone and called his office and said, look, I'm one of your constituents. This is, you know, you represent us. And I'm thinking about not just him. He supposedly has political aspirations after the Senate, but also some of these other people that are sitting on the fence. Doesn't it help to flood their phone lines as well?
Yeah, I think that their phone lines are being flooded. I'm not really in the position right now. I don't think I need to give out the number because I think that we've been checking and basically these phone lines for these key senators are pretty flooded. That being said, as a constituent like you, Deborah, absolutely. You know, if you're a constituent of Jeff Flake, if you're a constituent of a Susan Collins, if you're a constituent of Joe Manchin, you absolutely have the right. And if you have the time, pick up the phone and call the office. You know the other side is doing it right now. And again, I think that we can be limited in this. I think that most senators have made up their mind. But again, there are those handful remaining. Jeff Flake certainly is one of those who has still not been clear. He's kind of said, I plan to vote yes tomorrow. So that's what he said, unless something else is to occur. 28, 29 hours for something else to occur. And that for Jeff Flake, that could mean just being convinced by someone like Chris Coons. So again, a pretty open-ended statement. It would not be nasty. Listen, we want these people to vote in a positive way. So again, I'm not going to cast any dispersions on them. I do think that you could say that they have been, these are senators who put themselves out in this position by publicly taking roles that they are undecided or feel like they're going to vote yes, but they're not 100%. And as Stan pointed out in our chat, that if you can't get to their D.C. office, call their state office, especially if you're a constituent. I mean, if you live in Arizona, can't get to the D.C. office for Jeff Flake, call his Arizona office as well. We've only got a minute left in this segment. When we come back, we will focus all on your phone calls, which I think have been great for everybody listening, too. I know not everybody can call into the show, but it, kind of focusing in on the key issues in these final and how things can break down in these final hours before the vote to either put for Judge Kavanaugh to become Justice Kavanaugh or for a judge, a nominee to the Supreme Court to be voted down. I believe Judge Kavanaugh should become Justice Kavanaugh. That's my personal opinion. I support his nomination, but it hangs in the balance. We just have to be clear about that. 1-800-684-3110 to get involved in our final segment of the broadcast. Go to aclj.org too. There's a lot going on that we haven't been able to get to on these broadcasts. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSecular. Than's got Twitter as well, because a lot of this will be happening over the weekend. We'll be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture. and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
This is a great comment from Janice on Facebook, and Judge Kavanaugh wrote a great op-ed in the Wall Street Journal responding to this temperament issue, which I told you yesterday would be the Phase 3 attack, which we are in right now on the as the Senate has the final floor debate on the Kavanaugh nominations, that he just doesn't have the temperament. Whether you disagree with his judicial philosophy or agree with it, whether you agree believe the allegations against him or not, since they were all totally uncorroborated, but picking sides there. That either way, he just doesn't have the temperament. And that's what's come out from Washington Post, New York Times, Heidi Heitkamp, a senator from North Dakota, Democrat, Democrat Senator Feinstein, Democrat Senator Schumer, Durbin, Doug Jones, Leahy, and there are certainly more. But Janice on Facebook writes in that they keep talking about judicial temperament, but Kavanaugh wasn't being attacked as a judge. He was being attacked as a person, so he reacted like a person. And he says that in his op-ed. This was someone, he was doing this primarily, you know, for his parents, for his wife, and primarily for his children as well, his daughters as well. So let's go right to the phones. A lot of calls to get through. We're just going to go right through them by order of those who have been holding on the longest. Shirley in Michigan on line one. Shirley, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. Thank you, Jordan and Fan. I think we all need to not only be in prayer for Judge Kavanaugh, but for those that are taking the vote. It's not often they have to have the courage that they're going to need to take this vote, so we need to remember to pray for them. But my question is, if he is voted in, would the swearing-in ceremony be Sunday so he can immediately start at the court on Monday, or would they have to wait for any length of time to swear him in?
So, Thane, it can happen as quickly as I mean, you get the vote and you can have the swearing-in. You can kind of have the formal swearing-in done very quickly within the immediate time period, so on Sunday, and then there can be a more formal kind of ceremony even after that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would happen virtually immediately, Jordan. I mean, I think he would be over at the court on Sunday, whether or not the swearing-in happened then or Monday morning. If he's confirmed by the Senate, Jordan, he's going to go to work immediately.
So, yeah. So just to answer your question very quickly, Sherry, it happens immediately. What you, would likely be a kind of a small, quick event, and then there would be a kind of a larger event where friends and family go. That's just been the case for other nominees. But they start their work immediately, as Dan said. Back to the phones we go. Stuart in New York on line three. Stuart, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. Thank you for all you do and for your support of Israel. My question is, in the 12 years Brett Kavanaugh has been a judge, has his temperament ever been an issue?
No. I mean, he got the highest rating you can get, Stuart, from the ABA, the American Bar Association, which is very far to the left politically, by the way. But when they look at these judges, they look at the kind of how they conduct themselves. It's not really supposed to be about, it's not supposed to be about judicial philosophy. And he got the highest ranking you can from the American Bar Association, well qualified. So that, again, there have been no issues about judicial temperament. You can disagree with his judicial philosophy, but no issues about Judge Kavanaugh's temperament at all. Brought up personal, on the bench, at work, throughout his career before being a judge or the 12 years he has served on the bench. Back to the phones. We go. Marcus in California on line two. Marcus, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Marcus.
It kind of bugged me that every time I listen to the news, they talk about how he is attacking the senators, but they attacked him first by saying accusing him of being a rapist, basically.
Yeah, no. That is not basically. It was at least attempted rape. Assault. I mean, these are serious crimes he was accused of, Marcus. With no corroboration, even after another FBI report, no corroboration. No one willing to even say, say that they had even heard about this ever occurring.
Well, it bugs me that they attacked him first.
Yeah. Well, listen. I mean, this is it's politics. The temperament issue again is, it was just their next line of attack. see, he's too angry to be on the court. I mean, they actually say that. He's too angry, too much aggression to be on the court. But that was not him as, again, defending. He wasn't defending his judicial philosophy there. He was defending himself. There's a big difference. Back to the phones we go. Stan in Nevada on line four. Stan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. Maybe I missed this earlier, but I guess I need a lesson on representative form of government. I cannot in my mind imagine how someone like Heidi Hadkamp or Joe Manchin, who have constituents with overwhelming preferences for one direction, to even consider voting the other. I mean, are we sending people to Washington to do what they want to do on their own? Are we sending people to Washington?
A lot of these Democrats, red state Democrats, have been able to get through with talk that never really became action. I think that was catching up to Joe Manchin in this vote, Than. I think that the race was getting a bit too tight, and the Democrat Party moving a bit too far to the left, so that the talk with no action just didn't really work. It'd been okay for them, the Heidi Hadkamp types in North Dakota of all places. I think she's given up by this. I mean, what I think that she's done, now I don't think that's right because she does represent her constituents, like Stan has said, but Than, I think for the Joe Manchin types, likely the party's moved so far to the left that his trying to talk like a moderate but not actually vote like a moderate didn't work, and now we're seeing potentially him starting to vote like the moderate he says he is.
I think this is one of the main reasons that Heidi Heitkamp's race is basically lost for her, Jordan. I mean, look, the numbers for Judge Kavanaugh in North Dakota and West Virginia are basically identical. He has a 30% approval rating, plus 30% approval rating in both of those states, something like 60-30 in each of those states. Heidi Heitkamp is a no on Judge Kavanaugh, and she's getting beat rather resoundingly by Kevin Cramer. Then you look at Joe Manchin, and he's going to vote yes for Judge Kavanaugh, or at least he's voted yes on cloture, and he holds roughly a 6-8% lead there in West Virginia. Now, look, his voting record, as you said, Jordan, it's been somewhat mixed, but the fact that he has voted with his constituents more often than Heidi Heitkamp, I think that's why he's still competitive in West Virginia while she's getting beat rather resoundingly.
All right. I think we can take these final two calls of the day. Remember, the Kavanaugh final vote on up or down is scheduled for tomorrow evening. And Susan Collins has got a press conference scheduled for this afternoon and maybe something from Joe Manchin as well. Karen in New York on line five. Karen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. God bless you for all that you do. My question is, when someone calls into a Senate or a congressman's office, do they extrapolate that one phone call to be representative of more people? Like your one call may be representative of how 30 people in your state feel.
When they're flooded by this, they take note kind of, Than, of as best they can. Now, when they start getting flooded and running to voicemail, you got 30 hours to go through thousands of calls. But as best they can, like kind of the calls in favor, yes or no.
Yeah, I think the short answer to that is yes, Jordan. I heard from a senator yesterday who said he had 6,000 calls on this nomination in a period of 24 hours. It's a pretty good sign to them, and it's important to his voters.
All right, folks, so let's just explain it for you very quickly. We got 40 seconds left. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSekulow. Susan Collins has a press conference scheduled for later today. She said she will announce at that press conference, it's being reported at least, how she will vote on the nomination. Jeff Flake says he's probably a yes vote. Unless something changes. So, again, have to follow that very closely. Joe Manchin, will he issue kind of statement on where he is on the actual confirmation vote for Brett Kavanaugh? A lot of news to happen, so stay with us through Facebook, through ACLJ.org, and twitter.com/JordanSekulow. We will talk to you on Monday. We will know if Judge Kavanaugh is Justice Kavanaugh.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.